never comes out right.
Yeah, predictions were troubling.
Yeah, I said United would beat Spurs at Wembley. They didn't.
I know. I wish that was right. What's up, y'all? My name is Ian Edwards, and welcome to the Soccer Comic Rant. You can get this podcast at allthingscomedy.com, SoundCloud, iTunes. Go there, subscribe, leave a rating, let people know how you feel about it. And before I introduce the guest, and I said guest, that was plural. That means you got more than one. Some weeks it's just me. This week it's two guests. So I'm killing it on the guest today. And do the sponsor on the volleyapparel.com. Go to the website and they have men's tees, tanks, hoodies, jerseys, and hats. And they are dope. Because just go to the website, look them up. And same thing for the women. Tees, tanks, hoodies. They have like a kind of a owl hoodie. It's kind of just a neck thing. Sweatshirts. It's all dope stuff there. On the Volley Apparel. They care about football. Use my promo code Comic Rant. You get 20% off your order. And go there and enjoy. And two guests today. They've been on the show before. One was here last week. He's got an accent. What up, Lee?
Hey, how are you?
How you doing, man?
I'm good, thanks.
Thanks for coming back again.
No, thanks for having me.
Yeah, you told me you're going to leave town tomorrow.
Yep.
So I was like, let's see if you're available again today and see if you can come through and do, you know, bless us one more time.
Yeah, pleasure
and
to be back.
Thanks, man. And the homie Stuart Thompson.
Hey.
What's up, Stu?
I'm doing okay. How are you, Ian?
Midweek, not so good. Weekend, better.
Sure.
Great weekend. Yeah. Sanchez did his thing, showed up, looked good.
He showed up.
Yeah, what? So let's just jump into this. What the fuck is going on at Chelsea?
I don't know, man. I didn't see the first foul that Bakayoko did.
Uh-huh.
But I saw the second one and I was like, I don't like this, but I know how it's going to go.
Watford have got that new manager bounce right now as well. New managers come in and...
Yeah, these new managers are working out in the... So they're only showing the second... I didn't see anything big from this. I didn't see... This didn't... Let's see.
Yeah, that? I mean, it's... If you look closely, it's not a great foul, but I mean, if the guy's already got a yellow card and you're only a half hour into the game, like they...
That's nothing.
I don't know. It's just not a good look. And then, you know, De La Feo, I mean, I saw him get traded and I knew that was that's going to be a great trade for Watford, and it's paying.
Is it a trade or a loan? It's a loan, right?
It's just a loan until the end of the season from Barca.
But here's my issue with that. This guy, right? He's fucking amazing.
Troy Deeney?
Nah, De La Feo. And I've been telling Mark, because he used to, De La Feo, I was telling him about this player, De La Feo, that was at Barca, because I was watching Barca games when he was there. And he was just steaming down the field, great skill, speed, determination, and killing it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Mark was like, oh, that can't be the same guy that used to play for Everton. And he used to play for Everton. But he's only like 23 years old, right? Something like that.
Oh, okay.
I know some guys who are like experts in Spanish football. They've worked and coached over there. And they said that at Barca, he was like the big hope at the academy. And ability is unquestioned. But they said he's got some attitude issues off the field and on the field. Just his mentality. Like, he's got the ability, but the mentality isn't right.
But What I saw in the Barca games, like, he's playing with Messi and he's playing with a bunch of guys that have won titles. And if you're on there, you don't belong on there, it's going to show. And he looked like he was just as good or sometimes better than those world-class players. So, well, they just loaned him out, but they bought a lot of people. They bought Coutinho and they got Dembele. But to be honest, I don't think Dembele is going to be better than this guy.
Yeah, I think Dembele's got a few years on him. Dembele's only still like 19. He's crazy.
19, all right.
So maybe they're just looking for that. But who knows? If he tears it up, which he's started doing already, then he might go back. But he's had a lot of loans out already to Everton, AC Milan as well. So who knows if he'll actually make the grade there.
It
looks like he's falling just short, which is why they've sent him out again.
I don't know. You got to look at the last few games that he played for them. He was, he stood out. Like, I noticed him, you know. There's players that they bought 2 years ago and 3 years ago that I watched that didn't fit in and didn't last. He did better than, like, when I used to watch Sanchez play for Barca, right? He was okay.
He looked like he needed to be the main man, though. I actually went over there to the Camp Nou to watch a game. I watched Barca versus Celta. It was a midweek. Me and my brother took a trip over, and they had Sanchez, Messi, Neymar as the front three that day.
Right.
And you could see when the midfielders get the ball, they're looking for Messi, they're looking for Neymar. Sanchez was almost like an odd
man out,
an afterthought. Whereas at Arsenal, he was the main man. He was the go-to guy. So he'll still be that at United to a certain degree. There's still other good players there as well. But I think he needs to be at that sort of level. When he's at the super clubs, he's not, I don't know. But when you're with Messi and Neymar, it's a unique environment. There's not many clubs where you'll get that.
I don't think I ever doubted his skill. Like, I get why he didn't work out there, but the De La Fuego thing is confusing to me, based on what I've watched.
If it is an attitude thing and they are loaning him out constantly, I mean, maybe playing at a team that's not like in the top six, like they're not the top six team, they're just kind of in the middle. Maybe it will, maybe they're trying to do it for perspective. I don't know if clubs really think that far ahead, though, as far as like if they're trying to adjust attitude.
I mean, it's smart for Watford to not pay a bunch of money, just loan, get the loan and get them out of the trouble that they're in.
Yeah, it's good business.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if he tears it up, it shows like, okay, I can take this club that is, functioning kind of middle of the table and bring them up and make them a true competitor.
Yeah, but he's just fire, man. Like today he was just fire. He got this penalty.
Yeah.
And he's just like, he's just streaking down the field.
I'm not going to lie though. As soon as that transfer was made, I put him straight in my fantasy football.
There you go.
It was value. And yeah, he got some points today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was man of the match, I think.
Yeah. Goal and an assist.
So yeah.
Doucouré's had a good game in this one as well. I think he got two assists.
Said who?
Doucouré, the big center.
Oh, right there, number 16. Yeah,
I think he got two assists today.
And there was somebody. And the thing about De La Fuego, like, we need a right side player. That sometimes there's some players that I don't understand. Like last week, Spurs got Lucas Moura. We could have used a Lucas Moura. And they got him for a good price.
Like 25 mil or something. Yeah,
like that crazy guy is fucking amazing. Now, if you tell me about attitude, I would believe that he has kind of an attitude problem.
Oh, I mean, not wanting to stereotype, but the Brazilians always come with a little bit of a swagger.
Stereotype.
They like the nightlife. They
like Ronaldinho did.
Oh yeah.
Ronaldinho was the nightlife. Jesus.
Yeah.
But he's fast. But when I watch Lucas Moura play, he doesn't always play the full 90 minutes, you know? But when he does, it's just a fire streak going on the field and you can't stop him. Where was De La Fuego born? Like, what's his nationality?
He's Spanish, yeah.
He's Spanish?
I think he's fairly local to Barcelona, I think.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he came right the way through the academy there. So like I say, he was like the big hope after Messi.
After Messi, sure.
Yeah.
But just never quite did it.
Well, maybe these loan spells will get stuff. Teams don't get things right. Like, we're talking about Chelsea and loan spells.
Yeah.
So what's going on with Conte? And is it that he's arguing about money, spending?
I'm not familiar. I was seeing the headlines that said, will Conte stay? Will Conte go? And I mean, I don't know. I mean, he seems to be.
He doesn't sound happy. Did you hear anything, Lee? Abramovich?
I don't think managers can work for Abramovich for more than two seasons.
So it's Abramovich?
Possibly, yeah. They used to have a guy there called Michael Emanalo, who I heard was a little bit disruptive. He was the old director of football, but he left. And I think apparently that was Conte sort of involved in that. It was a bit of a power struggle. So I don't know now why things still aren't going right. Because, I mean, losing 4-1 to Watford and losing 3-0 at home to Bournemouth, they're crazy results. That shouldn't be happening to Chelsea. Maybe game where they lose by a
those
goal.
Those are bottom-of-the-table team scores.
Mm. Yeah. And, I mean, losing a player half an hour in only makes it worse.
Yeah.
Like, if Chelsea could... If Bakayoko stayed in and wasn't fouling people,
I feel like they would have still lost.
I mean, they might have, but it might have been 2-1 or 1-0 as opposed to
4-1.
Why do you have Bakayoko instead of Matic?
That I don't know.
And he's been playing. Drink water instead of Loftus-Cheek.
Yeah. Why do you have Ross Barkley? Like the people you did bring, like this, he's complaining about money and the team not spending enough. Abramovich doesn't want to spend like he used to, but they're doing some. It's just everything's wrong.
Yeah, it seems like there's a chemistry issue, and as far as just like putting together the right lineup, because I think Conte had the right lineup.
Hazard didn't start.
Yeah,
Alonso was out today. Was he injured, or was that just a resting him thing?
Not sure. And then David Luiz played.
Yeah,
and he's been having issues with him. I think he's just losing it. He's losing the whole thing. He's losing the owner. I think he's kind of losing the players.
Yeah, it's maybe something's going awry with the thread of it all. Mm.
I think as well the three at the back. They got the wing backs and they got two center mids, two attacking mids,
mm-hmm.
and one striker.
Right.
I think teams have maybe figured it out a little bit as well. If they can combat it, I don't think Conte's really adapted at all. I know. When he first started, he scrapped it early on, went to back four, and then when he went back to the back three, it worked superbly for that first season. But I don't know. I think maybe teams have found a way to combat it today.
Right.
Yeah, at least Watford and
Bournemouth
have.
Jesus. These are crazy scores, man. What did they do the week before? They tied. No, they beat Brighton.
Yeah, they were comfortable in that one.
Right. Yeah,
and then these are huge. And I'm happy with the score as a Man U fan because it keeps the distance.
Sure.
I'm also happy with the. So let's go to a controversial game. Where is it? It's a Liverpool Tottenham.
Fun game.
Fun game.
Yeah. Fun watch.
Let's get to
what happened late on as well.
Let's get to the parts with the dirt. Do you think the first penalty was a penalty?
The first penalty.
Have you seen the conversation with the referee? They actually got it on camera. The referee in the line.
Oh, let's go to it. Like I heard some of it. Let me see.
I saw.
Where do I go to look it up?
I'm not sure. I saw it on Match of the Day too. I was feeling homesick, so I watched Match of the Day.
No, I see.
They had subtitles on it though.
It's subtitles.
Yeah, because you can't hear it clearly. But the ref goes over to the linesman. And he says, "Can I give it?" And the linesman's like, "I don't know if Lovren touched it. If Lovren touched it, it's a penalty. If Lovren didn't touch it, it's offside." And then the ref talks to the fourth official, who asks if he's seen it on the screen. But then he just says, "I'm going to give a penalty."
Yeah.
The what? He tried to ask like a fourth official if he looked at the tape.
Yeah, he said, "What's on the screen?" But then immediately after saying, "What's on the screen?" he said, "I'm going to give a penalty."
Because he knows he's not supposed to be able to do that. You
Quite
can't.
Possibly.
This is not an FA Cup match.
Yeah.
So yeah, I did read something where he got in trouble for that.
Yeah, it's just... Yeah, it felt like both, you know, that first penalty, it felt a little... I don't know. It just felt kind of light, but there was.
I feel like Harry Kane dived, right?
You feel like he died?
Dived.
Oh, dived.
Like, oh, yeah. He properly tucked the legs and mm-hmm. sort of just swan dived over the goalkeeper.
Yeah. But he said, "If I feel contact, I'm going down. I'm not going to stay up for some guy."
Mm.
So, as a forward, that makes sense.
Yeah. I get it as a strategic move. There's, you know, it's like. They're going to take the hit and, try to sell it.
Spurs has some cheating ass players though. Like Dele Alli loves to dive and now Harry Kane is diving. Like there's places where Dele Alli plays, he gets booed.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I think Swansea is one of them.
He's got a little bit of swagger about him though. Like I think like in games you see him like try and argue with opponents and stuff, but I think that's made him what he is because he is a quality player.
Yeah, he plays amazingly and you know, sometimes that builds a little bit of an ego.
I think he's good, but he's overrated.
Yeah.
Well, that goal from Wanyama was something though.
Oh, it was amazing.
I know, right? Like
I was like, I didn't know this guy was a player. I didn't know he was.
And he was subbed on, right? Because I don't think he started. I think I remember him getting subbed on.
He's one of the many players that Southampton have sold on over the last few years.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he came to us from Celtic, and then he had two really good seasons for us, and then...
And then you sold him to Spurs?
Yeah. Buy low, sell high. That's the Southampton way.
Yeah. But that's a thing. Well, we've had this argument before. Like, how is... And this is my issue with us not getting Delafuego. Like, how is a team like Southampton consistently buying really good players for low? Yeah. And teams like Man U, they feels like they only get players. The good thing is we're getting players out of our academy now, but how are we just getting players like that are everybody wants and we have to pay top price?
I think they're looking for minimal risk because we take a risk. There are some that don't work out for us.
Right.
And we're almost like the proving ground. Clubs are happy to let us sign those players and take the risk. And if they work out, they know they've got the financial muscle to come and take them off us once they know they can do it in the Premier League.
Right.
Whereas yeah. United be like, if this guy can't do it in the Premier League, we're taking a big risk. It's, I mean, they still
but we still pay a lot. And then if the guys don't work out, then we lost more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, do you feel like, are there some people that really stood out at Southampton as people that really like didn't, you know, they missed the mark like recently?
We've had some over the years and recently, I mean, Gabby Adini was on fire when he first joined us.
Yeah. What happened?
And everyone's like, oh, this
somebody threw a bucket of water on his boots or something.
Yeah. He had a hot streak when he joined and then he's just stopped scoring. So he's one where... In that first sort of opening month, I thought, wow, we're going to only have him for a season.
Oh, wow. Right.
But then he's, he's done okay. But then we've had people like, we signed Yoshida, the Japanese center back a few years ago. Mm. He's been solid for us, but he's one who hasn't, like, no big clubs have gone, we need that guy.
Because he's smart. He's like, I want to stay in Southampton. I'm not going to play good. So you could go sell me.
Yeah.
Right.
But no, we've had, like, and Højbjerg we signed from Bayern Munich. There was big hype over him and then mm-hmm. he's had some good games for us, but again he's not one that has had clubs.
Does he play consistently for you?
He's in and out of the team.
He's in and out.
There's that penalty.
Yeah.
He looks pretty certain initially, the ref.
Yeah, because Harry Kane, it's because it's Harry Kane. I just want to know if this guy touched this ball, because that's the only way it could be offside. Even the linesman's like, he was offside, but he thought.
Yeah. Harry Kane's got a face.
Let me see.
Harry Kane's got one of those faces.
There was never a great angle on this. Yeah, he does have that look.
You can trust me.
He's a trusting face.
Yeah, it's...
I can't tell.
Yeah, it looks like he's offside.
If Lovren touched it.
Lovren definitely touched it. They do a close-up replay and he slices the ball.
So it's not offside.
No.
So this is a penalty.
He's offside as the ball's played, but then because Lovren touched it,
made him onside.
That's
what
the rules say.
Yeah.
I think they change the rules so often, though. The rules used to be that if the initial pass...
The person's the offside and it's in this direction.
That's the intent.
Right.
Yeah.
And then here comes Salah slicing through with his knife.
That was like a messy goal.
Yeah, it is definitely a messy goal.
I think Jamie Carragher was quoted as saying the only other person who could score that was Messi. Like,
yeah, just quick feet and then smart finish.
And it's calm too. Like there's moments here when he could have panicked, when most players would have panicked. Like, let's see.
Yeah, he moved he paused. In such a way. It was like, I didn't know.
Like right
people,
there.
I didn't know people
here.
In the 6 yard box.
Right. Especially when you're surrounded, you usually do something to make a mistake.
Yeah.
And he just calmed the fuck down, made the move when he had to, got around, and it's just him and the goalkeeper.
Yeah. That was, and you see Harry Kane with his beautiful blue eyes just.
It's hilarious.
Really taking it. I really should have sunk that one.
And then what do you think? Is this a penalty?
I need a closer look at
that. I watched it from a few angles earlier and from like, there's a couple angles where it looks like it's not, but he has kneed him in the ass, I think.
but he did, but it's like, you're out of my shot. You're out of my periphery. I'm going to whack this ball and then you jump into my periphery.
Yeah.
And when, as soon as I see you, I pull out
to pull out. Yeah.
So it's like, is that a foul?
Yeah.
There's still contact. Lamela's made a huge meal of it, though. But
it's contact. But it's like somebody got a red card recently, right? And I was like, that guy jumped into the tackle from out of the tackle. And I think it was on Chelsea. I think. I'm not sure. I forgot what game.
There was a game. I think the last time I was
maybe it was
on the podcast, we were talking about a situation where someone had slid in for a tackle, but like they happened to come in contact with someone just at the wrong moment, and that was their second yellow.
Right.
And I would love there to be a situation in soccer where you can call the foul on the guy who you made the contact, but you can give a yellow card to the guy for over exaggerating for simulation. I would love there to be just like a sort of two sided.
Just like
this is a foul. I mean, it's not like egregious, but you're an asshole for doing what you did.
Yeah, definitely. I think that would work.
I feel like that'll work. I feel like it would deter people from doing it again. It's like if you get hit, yeah, we'll all call the foul, but you know, if you're gonna make a show of it, then that's a problem.
Yeah, I like that idea.
You do?
But you see with some players though, some players try and stay honest and they try and stay on their feet and they get nothing.
Or you get that goal like Salah did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
you have the possibility of like getting nothing is there though.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I feel like there's a magnetism to, you know, doing a little acting and diving and
like Lamella did.
Yeah.
It's quite funny though, like in England, people are really against it. People hate it.
Right.
But then in some other countries they actually applaud it.
Yeah.
In Italy they will have a go at the ref if someone dives, not the diver. They say they think the diver's smart. They pat that guy on the back. They're like, you know, you sold it well, but and then they'll slate the ref instead. Which is a different mentality.
I think South American teams love diving.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hate to stereotype that, but that explains so much about Serie A. And just, yeah.
I mean, it is a cheating league.
There are so many games where I just watch, just like, this is, are we going to get any rhythm to this game? Or are we all just going to, oh, we're just going to flop around fouls. Like fish. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like Italian men crying to the ref like this. Like, did you see what he just didn't do to me?
Yeah. It was always worth it to watch Pippo Inzaghi play. Cause I don't know. Do you remember
Pippo? I love Inzaghi.
He would score and it was like he was avenging his mother's murder by scoring that goal. Well,
every goal was like a World Cup final goal.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
It's like, this is what gets me the golden boot. And I think he ended up getting.
Yeah. He was one of the, I think he's still one of the all time highest goal scorers in Champions League history as well.
He was good.
For a while, it was like him and Raul were the two. And then obviously Messi and Ronaldo arrived and just blew all the records out of the water. But I went to the San Siro once.
Oh, yeah.
I went into the club store. Mm-hmm. This is when Beckham was playing for Milan. And I went up to buy a shirt and get it printed. And the guy behind the counter, he's like, oh, so you want Beckham then? Mm-hmm. I was like, no, I want Inzaghi 9 on this shirt, please. And the guy just hugged me. He's like a local
true
legend,
Italian. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, it's my boy.
Yeah, I was like, I don't want Beckham. I want Pippo Inzaghi on there.
Do you speak Italian or were you speaking English?
I don't speak any Italian. Yeah. But the guys in the club store there, they get so many international visitors. It's
beneficial for them to know a different language.
Yeah, they do the tour in like 5 languages.
Oh, wow.
Sure. Which game should we go to next? Let's go to this embarrassment of a game because I want to discuss Sam Allardyce. It says Arsenal versus Everton and score was 5-1. What the fuck is Sam Allardyce doing besides not coaching?
Yeah, I don't know. It looked like there was just the way you watch these players on Everton, they just kind of scramble for wherever the ball is going.
They do this a lot. They play heartless. Like, there's red carpets at the Oscars that don't let people through like this. Like, this is crazy.
Yeah. I mean, like when Koscielny's doing a diving header, I feel like there's an issue. And also that second goal from Ramsey, I feel like that could have been scored. It seems like the keeper just misjudged it.
The crazy thing is as well, the selling point with Sam Allardyce is usually that his teams are organized. And don't leak many goals.
Mm-hmm.
So
anymore.
If they can't even do that, then what's the selling point for Sam Allardyce?
Because
he got results when he first came in, but they've tailed off badly. You see your boy Mkhitaryan got 3 assists in this game as well.
I thought it was 2, but 3, yes.
Yeah, he got a hat-trick of assists.
And then I was worried about Aubameyang not scoring, but he scored because it's a crazy thing going on. So speaking of Chelsea, they get rid of, was it Batshuayi?
Yeah.
He goes to Dortmund. Yeah. I think he scored at least a brace, but maybe a hat trick for Dortmund this week.
He was scoring just before he left.
And he scored in the FA Cup game before he left, right? Yeah. Hmm. So then it's like you got Giroud.
Yeah.
Is Morata injured?
I think so, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So then Giroud didn't score. So it's like, great, you gave away a scorer who scored for you before he left, and then he goes to the Borussia Dortmund and steps right in the place of Aubameyang.
I think Giroud was on the bench today, wasn't he?
No, yeah.
For Chelsea?
He came in. He came in at some point in the game.
Yeah. I don't think he started.
He didn't start, no.
But that's a nice finish from Aubameyang.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then that's the link up between Mkhitaryan and Aubameyang from Dortmund. They're back in business again.
Mm. Yeah.
Reunited.
Say again?
Reunited
again.
Yeah, man. It's
like, how does a team let a gritless team like beat them 5-1 and you're not a shit team? You're not at the bottom of the table. Like, I think Allardyce gets complacent once he gets a few results. Like, he's not a meticulous guy who stays on it. You know, he eases up off the gas and lets his team, like, when he feels safe, then shit, bad shit happens.
Yeah, I mean, there must be some complacency that he's dealing with.
Yeah, there's no way.
But yeah, there's just like, yeah, I mean, there was just such an open hole on a lot of these passes that led to these, you know, very defendable goals.
There are hookers who play harder to get.
I think as well there's Everton. A lack of cohesiveness there, because like they signed some big guys in the summer like Sandro Ramirez, mm-hmm. Davy Klaassen, and then they've loaned them out in January straight away. They've only been there a few months, and then they signed Walcott, they signed Mangala. Like, yeah, it's a bit of a revolving
and they got Mangala from Chelsea
on City on loan
from City, my bet. Yeah. And it's like, why would you get a Mangala? Nobody the only reason why City loaned him is because nobody will buy him. You don't get a Mangala.
Yeah, they loaned him to Valencia, I think, last season.
Right.
They're just loaning him out until his contract expires. No, because the City are paying him so much money, no one wants to buy him and pay
right
the contract that he's got there.
So did Everton right. buy him or loan him?
Loan. For loan. The season, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not good. I saw him out there. They have Bolasie now.
He's come back from injury. Yeah, he went there from Palace a while ago.
Right.
Started really well, and then he got a horrific injury, and he's just started coming back these last few weeks.
Like, what's Everton's plan? Like, it feels like all the money that they made from Lukaku, they spent it on bullshit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was like...
But that was Koeman that spent that money. So they let Koeman spend a whole buttload of money.
Right.
Then they fired him. Then Allardyce comes in. He doesn't like these guys. He brings in more players, mm-hmm. and it's just a bit
and then Allardyce spends
there.
More money. So did Koeman want to sell Lukaku?
Oh, no, I think Lukaku wanted to go, and he was making sure he left more than anything.
Right. I guess you can't keep him, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's tough. It's tough to maintain when you're in a certain club and you're seen in a certain way. And I don't know. You just need a coach who's just, you're going to give some time, who's going to just be down to build this stuff. Like Man City is doing some amazing stuff. Let me just go to them next. Because, you know, they just got, what's his name? Is it Laporta? What's his name?
Laporte from Bilbao, yeah.
Right.
He had an amazing debut against West Brom. He didn't play this game, though.
No, he didn't play this game, so I'm on the bench. But, like, I see what they're doing. They're buying so young. And they're going to have, this team is going to be so fucking young in 5 years. This same very team.
Yeah. Once a couple guys.
Laporte is like 25. Sterling's like 23.
Well, I think the port's only 23, 24.
20, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. 23. He's not. Yeah. I think it's 23, to be honest.
Yeah. I think the only players they've got at the back end are sort of Company, maybe possibly David Silva
and Walker.
Walker's still probably good for another two or three
right
seasons. I hope David Silva just doesn't age, though. I love the guy.
I'm surprised he's playing harder than he ever played before.
Yeah, he's starting to turn into Hugh Jackman's version of Hook.
That's hilarious.
Just this weird bald pirate of sorts.
What a weird decision. I don't have cancer. I'm just going to shave all my head off.
I mean,
it's extreme.
Yeah, but I admire that in men more than just like waiting for it to thin. I see enough guys that have thinning hair in life and they try to salvage it mm-hmm. with just like spreading the hair around. And because like,
I'm getting to that stage, to be fair.
Hey man, stop talking about him. He's sitting right there. Jesus Christ.
No, but
it's
like
kind of cruel, bro.
I will credit more. I see it more in European and mm-hmm. British men. They will just make it shorter. They'll make it shorter as opposed to like trying to like comb it over. I feel like that's such a more,
I don't know, it happens so much more.
That's why
American
we all.
Men.
That's why we all look like hooligans.
That's why you all look like skinheads.
Yeah, just everyone's got a real tight crew cut.
Yeah, we're not racist. You, it's just male pattern baldness.
I have testosterone and a lot of it, but I just like my team.
And then, if you're going to cut your head bald, don't wear the stomping boots.
Yeah,
is that a requirement? You're losing your hair. Let's get these boots.
Yeah, yeah. If you're losing your hair, you gotta get just get cool sneakers. No Doc Martens for you.
Yeah, chill.
There was a you can't
get away with it as a footballer. Where you're just like you're trying to.
But I didn't see David Silva balding at all.
Stephen Ireland.
Yeah, because
he had really thin hair, right. And he shaved it off in order to get hair plugs,
right.
And then he came back in with this full head of hair, and apparently, I can't remember who it was, apparently there was another City player, uh-huh. Probably Joey Barton, who tried to hold him down and pull it off.
Oh, that's Joey Barton's a fucking asshole.
Isn't that guy?
And then they got into a fight,
right?
Shaved it all back off anyway.
Right.
Oh, wow.
Maybe David Till was getting the plugs done, who knows?
Maybe.
But was he going bald to you guys?
I don't know. He had pretty full hair.
Yeah, the full head of hair.
He had kind of like that Beatles-ish, kind of like
little bowl cut. Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit of a bowl cut. Did he sell his hair to somebody? I feel like it wouldn't be long enough.
I think he had a pretty healthy head of hair. I don't know what he did that summer, but he just showed up bald. It took me a while to locate him on the field.
First few days of preseason, he must have taken some banter from the other players, guaranteed.
Yeah, he scores a goal, and instead of like doing the shining the boot kind of dance, they just shine his head.
Yeah, give him a buffing.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe he lost a bet. Aaron Lennon showed up for Burnley.
Yeah.
Like he's to me, when I watch this game, Burnley versus Man City, it's the two maximum coach teams in the Premiership.
Yeah.
So the fact that, because Pep gets the most out of his players.
Sure.
And Sean Dyche, is it Dyche?
Yeah, yeah.
Gets the most out of definitely these group of players. They play hard.
Yeah, they're so organized as well.
Yeah, let's talk about organization. And then they're down 1-0 to an amazing goal. Like, to not win a game off that goal is crazy.
Yeah, the Danilo
goal. The Danilo goal is crazy.
The thing about Burnley, they don't panic. Like, they're still, although they have one goal down, then they don't go, oh, we need to throw everything at it and get a goal. They stay organized and they pick their moment.
Right.
And it paid off for them eventually.
Yeah, these guys are the kings of the 1-1 game. Most of their games are like that. They just, they nick these points off
of
these
bigger
clubs that could have gotten three off of them. But, you know, guys like Gudmundsson will just, you know, sneak in at the right time.
They got Jack Cork as well. They signed him from us. I really like him.
Uh-huh. Another Southampton player.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Well, he came through Chelsea's academy and then never made the grade. They loaned him out to like Swansea and places. Oh, no, they sort of loaned him out to some other clubs. Then he came to us. Then he went to Swansea, then to Burnley. But I was upset when he left because I liked him. But we had about
you must be upset a lot as a Southampton fan.
I'm not upset when we sell them and then we carry on doing okay. I was upset this season when we sold them all and then we started doing pretty badly, but we got a good result this weekend.
But so, don't you guys, as a Southampton fan, don't you want to win something?
Yeah, we got to the cup final against United last year. Well, I mean, realistically, unless we have some freak Leicester season, we're not going to win the Premier League. So.
Yeah, but you won't have a freak Leicester season unless you stop selling.
Yeah.
Because all these players are somewhere else. Playing on top teams,
they don't want to stay there. That's the problem. We like Southampton. It's an okay city, but you know it's not London. It's not Manchester.
How far is it from like somewhere civilized?
It's pretty big still. It's a city,
mm-hmm. Right? Pretty much every English city is pretty nice. It's like a smaller. It's well done.
Some cities have more of that village aspect where everything feels very. Closely knit, and there isn't a lot of.
How many clubs do you need?
Not a lot going on.
Thing is, I think there's just a ceiling to our ambitions and players. Like the attraction for Southampton isn't the club or the city so much. It's more that they can come and play in the Premier League.
It's a showcase.
Yeah, and
it's like the comedy store for football players. You play here, you do good, you go to the big leagues. Yeah, I thought we were in the big leagues.
Get the better,
but
better TV deal.
But if, you know, for example, with Van Dijk, if Liverpool or Man City were after him as well, Chelsea had a look apparently. Mm-hmm. If any of those clubs come in for him, and he knows about it, he's going to want to play for those clubs. We know we can't keep hold of guys like that, and we tried to, but, and he got upset and he started playing dog shit.
But when do you switch your mentality as a team to say, we're like, how much money does Southampton need? Like, you guys are making money hands over fist, you know? Like, how much money when do you say, but I guess the owners it's just a business and they're just making money from this business. So.
Yeah, we got new Chinese investors this year. Previously, it was
for what?
It was some Swiss owners. We don't pay that top four money though.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, I think you could do the same thing that you do where you buy low, get great value, keep it the team together and have a go at it.
Yeah, become like a Burnley where there's like no really recognizable names unless they get traded in like Aaron Lennon. Mm-hmm. But you know, you just have like a core of players that really work well together.
Burnley this year, they're just doing what we did previous years. They'll finish seventh or something,
right?
Which is what we were doing. And there seems to be that little bit of a ceiling as to what you can do
at Burnley
without having that budget where you can spend City money and United money.
I mean, Sean Dyche, I would fancy him for England's coach. Because like I was watching this game too, and I was just like the way they played. Like you go down 1-0 to City, and then it's like, oh, we're going to try to get some points. Like, fuck this shit. And they came at him like with lower quality players. Like, and they almost won the whole game. And they looked like just as good as City on attack.
That's the best thing you could say about the England squad in a long time. Like that.
Like I can't say that about the England squad. Like an England squad playing another country that's on the level of Man City wouldn't come back at their country like that, looking with organized chances.
Yeah, I think he'd be a good pick, especially because he would be results driven. That we've had too many managers. Like the strange thing, when we had Hodgson, the FA wanted him to play nice, expansive football.
Right.
But he wasn't a manager that wanted to do that. So you had a manager who was trying to play a style of football that he was told to play, but he didn't believe in.
Right.
And it was awful.
Mm-hmm.
Southgate, again, he's a bit of a puppet.
Right.
For the FA.
Yeah, what do you think of him?
He's okay. He's a nice guy.
Seems nice.
Well said without, you know.
Yeah, but he's not, I don't think he's going to win us anything. He's not going to get the best out of that group of players.
Don't they know that, the guys that hired him? Like, what do they want? They just want to coach from behind this curtain?
I think so.
Someone and lose?
Just a puppet they can control. I don't know. But he's not... Like, his first job was that he came in at Middlesbrough before
and
he
brought them
his
down.
Licenses. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
I
then
remember
he went into the FA and worked for the under-21s. He's not... Like, you want... Like, someone like Dyche, like I say, he'd be...
Yeah.
He's not an attractive... He's not like a sort of... Like a... This big glitzy appointment that he can make. But I think he'd be effective.
Yeah.
If you let him do it the way he wants to do it, that's the problem. If they let him do it the way he wants to do it, I think he'd be a good pick.
But when I see Burnley play, it's not ugly football. It would be prettier if he had a higher quality set of players to do the finishing. But it's not ugly football. So it's like, just this game, the Burnley-Chelsea, the Man City game, just well organized and people aren't afraid. Like even we have Mourinho. Let's go to the Man U game, right? We have Mourinho, but we played Spurs midweek, and I've never seen, no matter who Burnley's facing, they never look as scared as a expensive team like Man U did looked against Spurs.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's what and I've seen England play scared like that sometimes too. Like it's over 10 minutes in because something happened.
Right.
And they feel like this is insurmountable. Whether the team scores a goal or not, you can see the, when they like, oh, we can't, this ain't our day. But never with Burnley.
Yeah. Oh, man.
And that's a penalty. Speaking of the Man
U. Yeah, that I saw, I was like, that's a penalty. You're jumping into the guy. You're not going for the ball. Schindler is, you know, never should be the spokesman for...
Yeah, that's a penalty.
That's a full-on body check, isn't it?
Yeah, that's that.
I was watching stuff like that in the Super Bowl.
There was one play like that in the Super Bowl, and that guy got taken off the field for the rest of the game. So how is it? Yeah, that's a fucking penalty on McTominay. The guy knocked out, tried to take McTominay out the game.
Yeah, I was. I think to what you're saying, Ian, about, you know, why Burnley can do that against Man City, but Man U can't do that against Spurs. I think there's a cool attitude that Burnley can adopt,
could have great player.
Which is, you know, we're going to keep fighting mm-hmm. and because we have the talent and we can pull this out. But if we don't, we're Burnley. What are you worried about? Like we're middle of the table. There's so much less expectation.
But Burnley has a sense of pride.
There is pride, but and
that doesn't wither. But no matter what.
It's the underdog mentality, though, going into the games, like Stuart says, Man United have a certain level of expectation on them.
Right.
Yeah. It's never like, we'll, you know, it'd be cool if they won. It's like they have to win or it's a problem.
Who? Man U?
Man U,
but,
Chelsea.
But fine. Man U was under Fergie and they never looked like they played would. A Burnley-like style with a high-quality players. Like, they never gave up. Why can they give up under Mourinho? You know, why can they look defeated before the game starts under Mourinho? And it happened under, what was the coach before Mourinho?
Van Gaal.
I saw them, like, kind of give up in games.
Well, I don't know.
There's several games, not every game, but there's several games under Mourinho that you can't see the spirit of the team.
That must speak to the level of coaching ability that you know Sir Alex was able to, you know, imbue into his players. You know Mourinho. I mean, people say he's at best difficult as a coach, and Van Gaal is a fish in a suit. So I don't know how you'd understand him.
Van Gaal looks like he's wearing a president's mask. Over his whole head,
like
it doesn't look like it's really his head. He's probably like walking around LA now or anywhere
on Hollywood Boulevard
with his real head that nobody's ever really seen. Because that looks like one of those. Let's go rob a bank. Everybody's going to put on a president's head, and he looks like he has on this Van Gaal president's like Van Gaal mask that he created.
Yeah, he was a weird looking dude.
Yeah, either that or one of those like in Men in Black when you'd open up the head and there, you realize there's a little alien working the gears.
Yeah. He looks like that. Somebody's working the gears.
Well, plus he's Dutch and like I you know, who knows how intelligible. I mean, to be fair, Sir Alex Ferguson is, I needed subtitles every time I watched him on TV.
I was watching an interview, right, with what's his name, Rio Ferdinand, mm-hmm. and there was a bunch of people in the studio, and I think it was after the Spurs game, and Rio was like, yeah, man, you know, sometimes he'd come up to me, I forgot what player, what game. Well, first Lampard was like, we were all in a tunnel. Chelsea was about to play Man U, mm-hmm. and he heard Ferguson yell at Rio. Like come here. And he's like, oh shit, what did he do? He's like, so he felt like a groan, and and Rio remembered the moment, and he said, yeah, I had to go back there. And all he said was like, hey man, so-and-so is talking about you. He's going to eat your lunch out there. You know? And then Rio would like pay attention that game. And then he would just do stuff like that. Like go up to a player, hey man, I heard so-and-so say he's going to own you in the midfield. Are you going to let that happen? And he just know whose button to push when.
Yeah, so you're saying Sir Alex was just a big gossip queen, like
yeah. It's an Atlanta housewife. Yeah.
Are you gonna take that?
So the fat bastard style.
Yeah.
Thank God Sanchez redeemed this penalty fast.
Yeah.
Still wasn't as bad as Harry Kane's first penalty.
Right.
Yeah. No, I mean, he's. At least the keeper had to die.
Worse in some sense, because it's like, where do you think you're going to score that? Like, at least Harry Kane is waiting for the goalkeeper to dive out of the way. Ooh. If you're going to go to a side, go all the way.
Yeah. I don't know how people can squeak by those ones that are just middle to the right or middle to the left. You got to bury it in the corner.
Let's see what else we got coming up. What's we talked about Chelsea, Watford.
I mean, talk to Arsenal. Give them Southampton highlights. I mean,
oh yeah. My bad. Oh shit, and they won too. All right,
good for 3 minutes.
You know what? Let's not watch this. Let's do something else. Let's talk about a game.
You want to get something to eat?
Yeah, you want to get something to eat, man? We're done. We cool. Let's not see these highlights. Let's put it in 3D for you.
Highlights are nice. This is the first time I've looked forward to Southampton highlights,
and I'm ready to skip it. But yeah. You know what? Let's not watch this.
You know what sounds better? Shawarma. Yeah. Congratulations.
Congratulations, man.
Yeah.
How you feel about
narrowly
this?
Defeating the last place team in the league. This is.
Hey, any win is good for us right now. We need that.
Man, Chelsea's got West Brom next week.
So. Didn't look good at first.
Yeah.
I'm going to go down. Higazi is in my fantasy team, though, so I wasn't too disappointed. I was like, as long as we turn this round, then it's good. It's all good.
Yeah. I'm not used to the fantasy soccer thing. Is it as pervasive in England the way fantasy football is in America?
Yeah, it's huge. And anyone that tells you, like right now in England, that they don't care about it, it's because they picked a crap team
and
they're losing. Anyone that cares this late into the season, you know that they're doing okay.
Right.
But me and a group of buddies, we've all got like this big group. Mm-hmm. We got like a league with like 40 of us in it.
Oh, shit.
And everyone threw in a little bit of money and we're going to pay like the top 5 places. So that keeps people's interest when there's...
Does anybody get relegated?
No one gets relegated.
That would be funny.
I'm sitting in like 9th right now though.
Oh, you are?
Let me have a look at my team. I've got it on here. But I just played my wild card and brought in some new guys.
Man, so how long is Ward-Prowse going to stay at Southampton? And I'm surprised he's still there, being that he's played for England before. Yeah, he actually got called up to England after he embarrassed Man U like last year in a game.
He's only been called up once, though, I think, once or twice. He's still on the fringes. He's not established.
Right. I know. He's doing good in other games, but he's really showed up against Man U a few times. I think he showed up against Man U this year, too.
Yeah, he doesn't like you guys.
Yeah, what's up with that?
I mean, this guy squeaks in goals. That's what he's good at. He is good at really just sneaking stuff past people, and it's.
Look at that. He's on the verge of being a good player.
He's a real set piece specialist as well. His corners and his free kicks. He's got like that Beckham technique.
Right.
Like he got an assist in this game from one of the corners, and then the free kick he scored was. Was a tidy finish.
Yeah, really, really spectacular. It was perfect placement. Got it around the wall. I was, that guy's impressive to watch. Mm.
We tried to throw this game away though. I was following like the
you
live
gave
updates.
It every chance you could.
Yeah, I was like 3-1 up. I was like, I'm still not. I don't feel secure in this. And then when they got it back to 3-2, like I text my brother back home and I was like, we're gonna draw or lose this. Like
it's exactly how I feel watching the US play.
It's hilarious.
Yeah, it's like, nah, there's no way this is going to work out well. Could be a 5-0 against just Tobago, not Trinidad and Tobago.
I don't feel that bad when I'm watching US play. I mean, we should be in a World Cup, but once in a while, a lot of great teams don't make the World Cup, so why not the US and they're not a great team?
Yeah, no, I mean, I realized that there were other teams that I saw. I was like, oh, they should have been in this, but what happened? But,
yeah.
And it's good that, other teams are making it, blah, blah, blah. But, like, I just feel it is just sort of gut-wrenching when a team that could be so much better isn't.
You guys have got like the wonder kid now, haven't you? Pulisic.
Yeah, he's good.
Yeah, and
just no one around him.
No one around him. Just Pulisic.
Let's hope he's good in 4 more years.
No, he should
be. He's still pretty young though. He's like 20, isn't he still?
Yeah, he's young.
Tearing it up at Dortmund.
Yeah. We just need somebody else.
I hope so. I mean, it's good that he's playing at such a high level team so that he can keep his, keep his level of play up. Because some guys, they're, I don't know. It's just, I wish a lot more US players were doing that. Yeah.
And what I like about him is his determination. And then that's another thing. Like when I see Sanchez play, it's skill, but there's a lot of determination.
Yeah, all those Chilean players are like that. They're doing it like
Hunger ball.
It's like
Games football.
Yeah, it's like a bunch of bulldogs playing. It's really. I mean, they're just like they're
ferocious.
It's ferocious, and it looks like. The, if those Chilean miners are still stuck in the mine, and the only way to get them out is they have to win.
They like, play like, they play like, you know, when a mailman wants to deliver the mail and there's like five dogs in the yard and they're like, you're not getting to this mailbox.
It's like rain, snow, sleet, or shine, motherfucker.
That was all molded when they had the craziest national team coach there is in Marcelo Bielsa. He's the one that like molded Chile into that team, and other coaches have carried it on, but he's a crazy motherfucker. He's called El Loco.
Hilarious.
And but he's like a he looks like a mad genius as well. If you see him, like, he just looks like a crazy guy. But he's like he's someone that, like, when Guardiola retired, he flew to Argentina because the guy's Argentinian. He flew to Argentina and spent like 10 hours in his house with him and said, like, teach me everything you know.
Oh, shit.
Apparently, they were like, they had a table out with, like,
when Pep retired. Pepper
pots. Yeah.
Pep's Argentinian?
No, he's Spanish, but he went out there because he, like, Bielsa, he's one of these, like, cult coaches who he's never really won anything, but he's in, like, Pochettino played for him and learned everything from him. Guardiola, like, purposely went to Argentina to visit him and learn from him.
From the Chilean guy?
Yeah. He's Argentinian. He was Chile's national team manager, but he's Argentinian.
Oh, okay.
But Bielsa, he's like a, like I say, he's this real cult coach who, yeah, people like love him and players sort of have to tolerate him because he's crazy.
But he won a few Copas, right? With Chile.
Yeah, oh yeah, I think he won a Copa there. He never really like won anything at club level. He was at Lille in France this year and got fired before Christmas. me and one of my friends, who we both love his style of football, we went out, we're like, we want to watch Bielsa at Lille because it's close to us, but we need to go soon because he will get fired.
You already saw it coming.
It's hilarious.
Yeah, so we went in pre-season and watched them play. But he was at Marseille before that. He's been around. He's
one of those guys.
He's influenced so many managers. So many managers.
Yeah, he had that Chilean team balling.
Are you El Loco?
He's not crazy. He's the crazy.
Is there any midweek football?
This week?
Yeah, like whether FA Cup, the
Champions League's this month at some point, isn't it?
I think it's next week.
Up in February.
I think it's next week. When is February 8th and February 7th?
That's later this week.
That's this week?
Yeah.
Oh, so there's Champions League this week. Hold on, let me see.
Let's take a look. Yeah, I thought it was after Valentine's Day, but maybe it's coming up soon.
Champions League?
Yeah.
Oh, no, it's on Valentine's Day, some of it.
Oh, yeah.
Some of it's on Tuesday the 13th, some of it's Wednesday the 14th.
So it's next week then?
Yeah, it is next week, yeah.
All right.
That is
2:14, 2:13, 2:14. Yeah, so we'll do that next week.
Wow, those are some exciting games.
Yeah. So let's see what we're going to do. We're going to talk about some of the matchups next week.
Yeah, I'd say so. I think there's a couple of good ones. Let's see. I think Chelsea could use a break.
Let me ask you a question. What did Spurs do that they had to play us, then Liverpool, and now Arsenal?
Who did
they piss off in the scheduling?
The Premier League will tell you that it's a random generation of fixtures, but
you think so?
But that looks harsh.
That's fucking harsh, bro.
Yeah, that's.
I mean, thank God.
I mean,
they got points from the first two, and they should be over. This should be an easier schedule for them.
Yeah,
it's kind of like a movie where like they've killed someone, and they think they've killed the main villain. Oh no, there's another one.
He's getting back up. Like, this is crazy. Like, I hate Spurs, but this is crazy.
Yeah, and the fact that the third act of the trifecta is a derby.
Yeah,
that's real crazy. Yeah,
top it all off.
Yeah, well, you know,
being against a team that
Arsenal is so good now,
rejuvenated. Yeah,
and then you think we'll see Lucas Moura.
Maybe as a sub.
Yeah, maybe
be an impact player for them.
All right. Who do you think's got this? Spurs or Arsenal at Spurs?
I don't know. This seems like a 1-1 thing. I feel like maybe you get like Aubameyang will get one and maybe Harry Kane will get one. But I feel like this will be dead even.
I'd go along with that, or maybe Spurs to pinch it.
It is at Wembley.
I just think Arsenal's win, like, it's a derby, you know.
Yeah, with Arsenal,
so it's hard to tell.
With Arsenal, I assume like if they score a bunch of goals in one game, they've just
there's
unloaded the gun.
They
won't fill it up until the week after.
Yeah, there's no option. There's only a certain number of goals that they can score in a season. They scored too many in one. There's not enough for the next.
I say if there's going to be a win, it's going to be Spurs, and I don't want it to be. I'm glad that there was a tie this week. Maybe Arsenal could. So if there's going to be a win, it's going to be Spurs. And if there's a tie, then it's a tie. But yeah. I can't say I think Arsenal's going to win. Like Spurs midfield is just going to play tough.
Yeah.
So Arsenal might be able to tie it.
Yeah, it'll be a pretty, I think it'll be an exciting game.
Yeah, for sure.
I feel like it has to be. It's hard to have I can't think of a boring derby. It just seems antithetical to the whole thing.
And you're playing on Monday again, Chelsea.
I don't like this Monday thing. Neither does
Chelsea.
Yeah, but I mean, we're playing West Brom. I feel like that has to be like a palate cleanser, the bread between you know bigger meals.
I mean, that's what. Who did you lose to the week? Bournemouth.
I heard earlier today though that Villas-Boas was sacked after losing to West Brom, and Di Matteo was sacked after losing to West Brom at Chelsea. So
sure.
maybe it's written.
Conte
loses that game and that's him done.
Yeah. I mean, I would understandably so, but like I feel like this, you know, this could be a game where, you know, Giroud scores a couple goals and, you know, gets the ball rolling.
They're not I'm even starting.
If Southampton can beat them, anyone can, is what you're saying, really, aren't you?
Yes. Yes.
And that's fair. I have to accept that right now.
Yeah. But Southampton's coming off that win. You think that's going to take them into the Liverpool game?
Yeah. And this is your game, Liverpool versus Southampton.
Yeah. We've got this real habit where we play quite well against the big sides at home.
Oh, okay.
Because you want to sell your players.
We took a draw. Yeah, it's their shop window. They don't care. They don't care about playing well against Swansea because
Swansea can't afford us.
Yeah.
So why would we play good against Swansea?
Yeah, they just turn it on against these guys. So maybe Ward-Prowse wants to go to Liverpool. He's going to tear it up in this game. Or maybe that's why he always plays well against you guys.
Yeah, that's true because he's trying to come to a bigger team.
Hello, maybe boys. That's
it. Yeah, lift the shorts up, show some thigh.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, like we drew with Spurs at home. We drew with Arsenal at home.
Yeah.
We could have won those games. Liverpool at home. I mean, if you look at just on paper, they should be beating us. But if we turn up and the players are up for it and they're angling for those moves, then we could get something.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah. And this other game going to cover Man U versus Newcastle. I feel like Mourinho hates Benitez and he's just going to bury him under a ton of goals. He's going to let the... He's going to let all forwards play. He's going to make Rashford playing defense just to get him in the field.
That works out for you as well because you hate Benitez as well, don't you?
I hate him like crazy.
What is it about Benitez you don't like?
It's kind of like...
Benitez looks like he should be doing my taxes more than coaching soccer.
So I wouldn't trust him with my money. I just think... I don't think he's a bad coach. I just think he's... I like the coaches that don't try to be a bigger star than the stars on the team. And I feel like he's always trying to steal some shine. And instead of being the best coach he's can be, he's trying to become like just to build up himself. And I think it affects his team.
Yeah.
You know?
But like you say, the fact that Mourinho hates, because there was that rivalry, wasn't there? When Mourinho was at Chelsea and Benitez was at Liverpool, they had those crazy like Champions League games and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I know Mourinho got under his skin then. It'd be interesting to see where, if Mourinho doesn't actually mention any of that, then you know that he doesn't even see Benitez as a threat anymore.
No, he hasn't.
I think that would be more humiliating for Benitez if Mourinho just doesn't care about him anymore.
I know.
Yeah, it'd be like if Batman was like just indifferent to the Joker. Like, yeah. All right, whatever. It's like, no, come on.
Yeah, please.
But I also think Benitez took over for him at Real Madrid. And then his wife said something about Benitez always has to clean up Mourinho's mess.
Because Benitez went in at Chelsea after him as well.
Yeah. And so that's why she said it, because he went in after Chelsea.
Yeah. And at Real Madrid.
And at Real Madrid, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, sounds like a pretty astute observation. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah. Can't really disagree with that.
Yeah. But I mean, Mourinho has, you know, the temperament of an active volcano.
Yeah, he leaves a trail of bodies when he leaves.
Yeah.
Yeah. The one thing I like about Mourinho is that, like he's doing here. Like, I didn't want him at Man U, and I said this repeatedly, but he will build us a team. And we have a team. Like, when I look at Man U squad now, I'm like, we should be, I think we should still be in second, but we should be more of a threat to Man City, as like closer in the tables. And it's just, he's missing something. Like, he's not maximizing our squad, but he did get us a great squad. We have a lot of good players.
Well, if you want to be more of a threat, I mean, Man U has to keep winning and Man City has to keep not winning. And the problem is, like, there's only so much that
Man City can do to help us.
Yeah, there's only so much that Mourinho can control. Is like, you know, he can try to maximize wins for Man U, but, you know, if Pep's still got, you know, Man City rolling on, you know, all cylinders, then I don't know.
I think Pep gave his players a break this week. They sent them on vacation.
Right.
I think they're getting tired out there. I think he knows that during the Burnley game, so he doesn't have him, and it's a good time to give him a break because there's no midweek games, right, and then Champions League. Give him a break and then get back for the weekend, and then also for Champions League mid next week.
Yeah, it could be an exciting game against Leicester.
Yeah, Leicester, you know,
brings it. Was Mahrez was out during this most recent game? It looked like he was out.
I think he didn't start.
Yeah. But I was wondering if they were resting him.
Well, they almost sold him.
Two City.
Yeah, City, yeah.
Yeah, I think they bidded, but there was just, yeah, nothing on the table. Yeah. But some of City's players have been talking about being tired. There's a quote from De Bruyne where he's talking about the schedule, and he says, you feel great for 10 games, then you feel okay for the next 10 games, and then the rest you just feel like shit.
Damn. And he runs. And the way he has him running.
Yeah, that guy's moving. Just constantly.
Yeah.
Yeah. But with a team like Man City, their bench is so deep. You don't think they're not going to cycle people in?
Pep keeps it pretty tight. They have a deep team, but he keeps it pretty tight. Like, it's the same players out there.
Yeah. I just, you would think
for the most part.
Sané's out for a while as well now. I think he's out.
Yeah, Sané's out now. And Jesus is out now.
Yeah. You think they would cycle some people in just. Not because of injury, just, you know, to, you know, keep, especially on those games where it feels like it's not as.
I know. Pep wants to, when he's got those horses going, yeah, yeah. He's just like on them.
Yeah.
He's running them.
I guess so.
I'll just do the tables real quick. If you guys got any comments while I go through the tables, and then that's it. So, Man City, number one, 69 points.
Yikes.
Manchester United's number two with 56 points. Liverpool's breathing down their neck at three with 51 points. Chelsea's fourth with 50 points.
That's a crazy thing. Chelsea are still in the Champions League spots.
Right.
Yeah. Well, if they, I mean,
because Spurs tied, you know,
they got to keep winning. Otherwise, Spurs is gonna push them out.
Yeah, it's a good thing Spurs only got 1 point, or they've just been ahead of them, or matched with them, yeah, ahead of them. And Arsenal. Spurs is five with 49 points. Arsenal six with 45. Burnley seventh with 36. Leicester's. Yeah, this has been Burnley's number no matter what happens, number seven.
Yeah.
Yeah, and a huge drop off in numbers, yeah.
Yeah, it's a three game difference.
Yeah.
And it's crazy. Bournemouth, like, down in ninth. They were way down before that.
Yeah.
And a couple of weeks, like, they beat Arsenal 1 week, and they got a result against Stoke at the weekend there.
Yeah, I mean,
did they beat Stoke?
So compressed.
Did they beat Stoke?
Yeah, 2-1, I think it was.
2-1. Yeah, so they're on a hot streak right now, kind of.
Yeah, the difference between Arsenal and Burnley is greater than the difference between Bournemouth and Huddersfield Towns. And so that's the difference between 6th and 7th is greater than the difference between 9th and 19th.
Well, I say the relegation zone is from 12 to 20. Because if you're last, it only takes you 7 points, like three wins and a tie to be where Brighton Hove or West Ham is in 12.
Yeah.
That's not, like, usually around this time, if you're in a relegation zone, you could only catch maybe the team that's in 17th or 16th. You could catch the team in 12th.
Yeah, like Swansea looked buried a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
They beat Liverpool, they beat Arsenal, and they drew with Leicester, and now they're out of the relegation zone. It's crazy.
They're out, but they're still in so much danger.
Yeah.
Because it's such a crunch.
Well, yeah, and Southampton brought themselves up, and so did Brighton. And so there's like, yeah, there's definitely a chance. You just got these teams at the bottom, they have to rally.
Yeah, Crystal Palace is still in danger with 27 points at 14th place.
Yeah.
Stoke, Huddersfield. How did Huddersfield sink below? Like, remember they
lost five games in a row.
Five,
Jesus, man.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't even know what they lost beforehand, but yeah, five in a row is gonna.
Yeah, they're really playing like a promoted team. Jesus, yeah. Like Huddersfield had their shit together.
They did for a minute.
Yeah,
they were really competing because they were right in the middle of the table and they're struggling now.
Yeah, they had that strong start. They came out the gates flying, didn't they?
Yeah, they beat us. They beat Man U.
They're like, I think they're like the football equivalent of premature ejaculation. They load early.
They ran out.
Now they're done.
Yeah.
Hammering for a nap.
They're just pumping away soft. and hoping the girl feels it.
Yeah, it's not working out for them. I think it's going to end in tears.
You think so?
Yeah.
Who do you think is going to go down this year?
I mean, it's not looking good. It's not looking good for West Brom. They've been down in the relegation zone for a while. It's hard to say. I think Huddersfield could rally.
I hope they do.
I think it could end up being like Swansea, Stoke, and West Brom. Like at this rate,
I think West Brom and Huddersfield will both go.
Oh yeah,
and then I think Swansea have got enough to get out of it. I think it'll be one of Stoke or Newcastle.
Jesus.
Perhaps.
Yeah, somebody was telling me they think Newcastle's going to go down. I can't call it, you know. It's such a tough call, man.
Just anyone but Southampton I'll be happy with.
Yeah.
As long as it's not us.
You're in 15th. You've got 26 points. Get it together, man.
Yeah. You know, get it. You know, pull off a good result against Liverpool and you know, get the ball rolling in the right direction. I mean, the way it looks the last five games, it is moving in the right direction. You know, it's moving towards wins. So, I mean, I just don't need, I don't need to see Chelsea embarrassed.
It's hilarious. It's
rough.
Some personal stuff coming out there. All right.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Stu, you got anything you want to plug?
You can go to my website, StuartThompsonComedy.com, or follow me on Twitter or Instagram at Stuart B. Thompson. That's Stuart with a U.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah.
Coming through.
Of course, man.
And Lee?
Yes. At Lee H. Comedy on Twitter. And yeah, that's pretty much all for me. I'm flying back tomorrow. So, yeah, I've got a few small spots in and around London, a few competitions I'm in this year as well. So,
oh, cool.
I wouldn't advise anyone to come out to those.
Well, thanks for coming by on your last day.
No, thanks for having me.
And y'all can check me out on Instagram and Twitter at Ian Edwards Comic. You go to my website, ianedwardscomedian.com, and my album, 100% Half-Ass Comedy Album, is available there. And just check out everything else on the site. Thanks, guys. The podcast is going to be up on the website. It's going to be on iTunes and SoundCloud and Punch Drunk Sports and allthingscomedy.com. Thanks for listening. Hope you all have a great, fucking amazing week. And we'll talk football next week. What? Yeah, thanks, guys.